Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Taught when you were young, if you mess with things selfishly, they're bound to come undone. I'm not the only one that's been affected and resented every story of fun, and I'm a lucky one, 'cause there are people worse off that have suffered enough. Haven't they suffered enough? But you can't get enough of shutting down systems for personal gain, fighting fires with liars and praying for rain. Do you get off on pain? We're not pawns in your game, Commander-in-Chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep, seriously. Do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-Chief, how does it feel to still be able to breathe? We were taught when we were young, if we fight for what's right, there won't be justice for just some. Won't give up, stand our ground. We'll be in the streets while you're bunkering down. Loud and proud, best believe, we'll still take a knee while you're Commander-in-Chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep, seriously. Do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-Chief, how does it feel to still be able to breathe? While you're bunkering down, won't give up, stand our ground. We'll be in the streets while you're Commander-in-Chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep, seriously. Do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-Chief, how does it feel?
America, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're sitting there believing the crap and being fed to you by a man who continues to lie, continues to cheat, continues to take those that he'll blow to him. At the same time, he creates racial tension, racial bigotry, and homophobic rhetoric. Anti-immigrant. And by the way, 85% of y'all are immigrants. Or alcohol illegal too? I don't think so. So when you talk about immigration, don't call them illegal aliens. Call them undocumented aliens. Undocumented personnel. Words count, my brother said, my words count. They're undocumented. Let's go back a couple years. After World War I, the Irish, they were illegal immigrants. Right? Then came the Italians and Germans after World War II. Right? What are you doing? Now we're going against Latinos. At the same time, Ukrainians are walking into the country. Easy. Right? This is the philosophy of this country now. And immigration did not come become an issue until it became people of color. After Vietnam, the issue of immigration did not become an issue until after the Vietnam War. With thousands and thousands of Vietnamese refugees coming to America. The boat children. We did it again before in Korea. Now we have thousands and thousands of Korean Americans. And they are American, okay? They're not Korean, they're American. Get it right, folks. Get it right. Yes, Latinos are going across the border. And yes, there should be a control mechanism trying to allow to assimilate in our country. But when you have a guy who is not care about anybody of color, we got a problem. And folks, if Herschel Walker wins down in Georgia, we really got a problem. That's it for the political talk today. Because we got a long schedule today. We got a lot to do, a lot to talk about. I'm going to come back after a minute. And we will be back after these words.
I'm sending you red roses and violets, a blue girl. The roses mean I love you, the violets mean I'll always be true, girl. Cause I really love you, and I'll treat you truly, yes I do. In spite of the way you're acting, that you love me too, come on and say you do. You try to keep me away, girl, just to prove you don't really care. But I believe you feel the same way I do. And this torture just ain't fair.
I'm
sending you a bracelet engraved in gold. But I love you, girl.
Love you, girl.
And I'd sing my heart if I could to prove I'll always be true, girl. 'Cause I really love you, and I truly, truly believe, yes I do. In spite of the way you're acting, that you love me too, come on and save me. Oh, save me. That the red roses and violets are green, girl. And that bright shining bracelet helped me, baby, to say I love
you.
'Cause I really love you, and I truly, truly believe, yes I do. I believe that you love me, so baby, come on.
Alright, news of the week. The Washington Football Club running back Ryan Robinson is doing well at the hospital. He exited the hospital this week after the shooting attempt and carjacking of his car. He over had Norgovic on Sunday. Will not be in New York. He did not play in New York at the Open because he refused to get COVID-19 vaccination shots. So no Grand Slam for the Joker this year. Rams and Cowboys offensive coordinator Irsay Beatty passes away at 86 years old. And one of the coordinators of the world champion Dallas Cowboys, the triplet championship Monday, the first day of the U.S. Open, Serena Williams, started slow, but wins her first round against Kovanec, 6-3, 6-3, 3-6. Zedman is an upset son. Venus Williams, Rangone, and Osaka all lose. And speaking of the tennis world, Americans are in trouble. I've been saying this for years. Once the Williams sisters leave, the tennis court, there's nobody there on America's side except for maybe Pegula and Coco Gauff. The other guys, they don't have the fire energy to win majors. And Osaka, with her injuries, I think she's going to have a real problem later on, because events, Chicago, White Sox, Andalusia, will be out on medical conditions indefinitely, but our tests will continue each week. Devon Curry, you call him a graduate now, because Davidson, only graduate people who can continue their education. Devon Curry did that in the last 8 years, and he had a one-man graduation ceremony, where he also got his number retired. One of the only numbers in basketball at Davidson. So nobody will wear number 30 ever again on the Davidson basketball floor. On Thursday, the Jazz are done. They dismantled the whole team. And Donovan Mitchell goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And again, it's a business. And for you New York Knicks fans, I what can I say? Stevens exit, and then Thursday Stevens exit. Pagula moves on to the third round. And there are 6 Americans left in the tournament. The Buffalo Bills signed Sam Martin from the Denver Broncos to replace Matt Azira. Azira has more problems than you think. I think Azira is going to go to jail. Because this girl came out this week and told the media about what Azira and his boy did years ago. And this week is also the Mets and Dodgers series. The Mets win the series 2-1. And they beat the Dodgers 5-3. Victory in Citi Field. The SRO crowd. And the Mets, I think, are very serious. If DeGrom stays healthy, this is going to be a very interesting series between the Mets and Dodgers in the playoffs. If they get that far, the Dodgers have pitching woes, and they have to get over that. Friday, Boston gets bad news. Danilo Gallinari out for the season, ACL there. And the Boston Celtics had to deal with another injury for a complete season. The University of Texas gave a uniform to Uvalde High School football team. And congratulations to the University of Texas for doing so. Now, in 1968, Mr. Gray Usby became a New York Knicks fan. Because of number 19, who plays center for Grambling State University Tigers, then happened to be Willis Reed. He became captain of the New York Knicks. In that draft pick in 1968, whatever team drafted Willis Reed, that'll be my team for life. doing goals that didn't finish me. And I immediately started following the New York Knicks. In 2022, I might want to turn in my New York Knicks membership card. 25 years of brutality in Madison Square Garden. 25 years of just barely missing the playoffs. 25 years of being one of the worst franchises in the East Coast. Now I got it's rivalry now because the Brooklyn Nets are doing the same thing. I'll hold off on the card this year. But if they don't do better next year, I'm out of here. Last night, I saw one of the greatest tennis matches of all time. The first time I was rooting for it, didn't win. But boy, did she give up a fight. Serena Williams is the best female tennis player I've ever seen. I knew this back in 1998. Did an article on it, Between the Two Sisters. And I said back in 98, Serena's gonna be the star. And people criticized me for saying that. It's okay. And here we are 25 years later. And Serena Williams is, what, 23? It should be 24, but we let it go. Because of New York. But 23 Grand Slams. She's won more tournaments in the new style than any other tennis, female tennis player in years. So congratulations to Michael McCall, the Huntress, as he rides off into the sunset, doing what normal people do, with family and friends, and raising a beautiful girl. And we have an incident at BYU. Last week, and BYU should be ashamed of themselves. BYU hosted the Penn State women's volleyball team. BYU has had a history of this. And while the team was playing, the black Penn State player was serving. And one of the BYU female fans got a BQ. They call her the N-word. Now, I don't know about you, but imagine should be stopped. And that individual should be kicked out of the stadium. BYU didn't do that. BYU ignored the situation. BYU continued the game. And this is the condoning of ill behavior everywhere. And this is BYU. And they're allowed to do it because the Americans have to deal with, what I dealt with, growing up, there was a 20-year, 30-year peaceful respite. And I was returned. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael went wrong. I'm going to tell you something. If this country don't get it right, we got a problem. Number one, Dawn Steady, I give her all the congratulations. Dawn Steady, head coach of South Carolina, women's basketball team that we ain't going to BYU. We are canceling the game. And more coaches would do this, and more people would say this, that nonsense, racial nonsense, would stop. But because the administration condones this behavior, and because the BYU volleyball coach did not do anything at all, his behavior continues. You are silently condoning this attitude. And you cannot do this. Keep it up. A come to Jesus moment is on its way. Because you know what happened in 68, in 69, all across America. And my question to America, do you want it to happen again? Do you want, and this time, it ain't gonna be like that last time. Because this guy, people gonna be armed. You think Gary, you're exaggerating? No. Because it's 68. America got lucky. Because most of my black Americans didn't have any guns. Well, my fellow Americans, as President Johnson was saying, $40 is over. Now you have a choice. You can pay me now or pay me later. But something got to give. And this president, ex-president, is not helping it. So I did my captain, the Dawn Steady, and the South Carolina women's basketball team for standing up and standing strong against BYU. It's a shame that these women, these young women have to deal with it once again. And BYU, shame on you. But let it happen.
With my future, my life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know to you, it might sound strange, but I wish it would rain. my tear-stained face pressed against the window pane. My eyes touch the skies, desperately for rain. Cause rain's off behind my teardrops, and no one will ever know that I'm crying, crying when I go outside. To the world outside my tears, I refuse to explain. Oh, I wish it would rain.
Like I said before, America better get it right. Don Staley, I salute you as a great coach. And you made a great decision not going to BYU. And like I said before, BYU should be ashamed of itself. They're not. BYU should kick that. Kick that coach out of volleyball. They won't. BYU should kick that student out of competition for the rest of her college career. They won't. This is the mindset of America today. And it comes from 45. I can do whatever I want to do, whatever I can say, whatever I want to. It's got to stop. Don Staley is the first step. Second step is, if you do this again, we ban you for competition. Period. End of discussion. We got Michael Lucy in the house. What's up, bro?
What's going on, brother? I think I came in late on this. What happened?
Okay, this is what happened. BYU hosted the Penn State volleyball team.
Okay.
Penn State has one black player.
Right.
Who is the center for the volleyball team.
Okay.
One bright individual in the crowd decided that when this black player touched the ball, they would say the N-word.
Oh, really?
This was repeated time and time again.
You know, the Mormons have been getting kind of fast and loose with that bullshit.
Wait, Michael, it gets worse.
Okay.
The BYU volleyball coach, now most coaches would stop the contest and tell that individual, hey, cut me crap.
Right.
This volleyball coach didn't do anything.
Ooh.
In fact, after the incident, the BYU executives and Penn State executives had a powwow. Guess who didn't show up?
Yeah, no shit.
The coach of the volleyball team.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Don Staley saw this and said, we ain't going to BYU.
No kidding.
I don't care what you do. We ain't going to BYU.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. And the game is supposed to be in October.
Oh, really?
At BYU.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
And we're going to come back to South Carolina in December.
Yeah, you're right. I like that, Dawn. So she flexed on me.
I saw this a couple of days ago. I didn't fit my wig. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And this woman is still coaching. See, that's the part that gets me. This woman is still coaching. The question is, why?
This is very messed up. Well, I can see where Reggie would be PO'd. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, damn. You know, that Dawn Staley spoke up, though, I think is important. I'm glad she did.
Oh, I think BYU is going to get kicked in the butt because Dawn Staley. People listen to Dawn Staley.
I'm just shocked.
I think BYU is in real big trouble.
Yeah, I'm shocked that the coach didn't say anything. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, this is the thing. I told people this. If you let leadership do this, trickle down. Okay, let me give you an example. I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
When Richard Nixon did what he did, it trickled down and people started seeing stuff, right?
Sure.
When President Reagan said greed is good, what happened? Wall Street.
True.
Your leadership, people watching you. I'm telling you, in another 10 years, all hell is going to break loose. You know why? Because these kids are watching this, and if Donald J. Trump can do this, I can do it too. And I'm telling you, it's coming.
Then you're right. You're right about the entitlement aspect of this, and that infuriates me.
It does. And Republican Party, shame on them. Shame on them. Because they had no business. They had no business supporting this man.
I agree.
Shame. I tell you, Mike. If Ursula Walker wins In Georgia, man, we got a problem.
No kidding. I can't see him winning, but we've seen stranger things happen. So, yeah, I would be a little concerned.
Because he is bright as a doornail. You know how a doornail is not bright, okay? And see, this is what gets me mad about Republicans. Republicans, the dumbest person they can find, Negro-wise, the dumbest one they can find. And that infuriates me because if they got an intelligent black guy to run, I might vote for him.
I don't care if he's a jock, but everything indicates that he's a cement head, that he doesn't have any clue. And that's why I'm like, oh, no, don't get this fool in there, you know, because he's going to be somebody's shill.
But he's definitely going to be a stuck at the party. You had
J.D.
Everybody was doing it. And Republicans are, oh, no, we can't have you in here. Because J.D. Watt was smart.
Yeah, he was. J.C. Watts was smart.
And this is what the fuck you need to do.
But this is a big difference with
Sarah Palin. What are you doing with Sarah Palin?
There's a big difference. No, there's a big difference between somebody that knows how to articulate their side of things and somebody who is just like they're there for the ride and they think they're on the winning side. That's the problem. That's what Sarah Palin thought. She was on the winning side. And I'm glad she lost the vote.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, what in the world are you doing? Lord Boebert, where did they get these people from? I mean, seriously. Lord Boebert, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Need I go on? I can go on a complete list. What are you doing?
Did we
lose my cool? Am I here?
I'm here.
I'm going.
I'm just like, what's just up, buddy?
What you got?
I'm here. Well, tomorrow night, the big tournament continues. The second round starts, and we're going to have a good matchup, the Dramatics against the Delphonics, finally. And there's going to be a bunch of shows afterwards. Moments will be going up against Black Ivy. Smokey Robinson will go up against New Birth. I mean, got a whole lot of good stuff coming up. But it starts with the Dramatics and the Delphonics tomorrow night at 9.
All right. Let's talk about the baseball, basketball. The New York Mets play the L.A. Dodgers this week in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They took the series 2-1. In the process, I think that it shows that the Dodgers have a pitching problem. I mean, they're a good team, but they are gonna they get a rotate series.
Well, it's one thing
but
that Colin McCann said. Yeah, but that's what I'm going to say. Tony was consistent about saying pitching is what's going to get everybody through. And it looks like the Dodgers are starting to waver in that department.
Yep.
You know, whoever's going to survive all this is going to have the best pitcher for the long haul. It doesn't look like it's the Dodgers right now.
Well, I'm hoping for a Dodger Met National League championship, but I can see the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves getting in the way because both of them teams are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them teams have a solid 15 staff, and the Cardinals have the machine.
And let's be real, they want to have a West Coast East Coast matchup.
Yes.
You don't care if it's Mets Giants, Mets Dodgers, Mets Cardinals, it would be fine with them.
And the American League, it's the evil empire.
All right.
The evil empire has to get their business down together too.
Yes, they
because,
do.
I don't see them beating Houston with that current opinion.
No, brother, you're probably right, but I mean, look at all the bats. I mean, Judge is an imposing figure.
Oh, yes,
he is.
People, all right.
When they say all rise, they really do rise because you don't know if that ball's going to go out or you're going to feel the breeze from strike three. But he's amazing when he's up to the plate.
You know, Aaron just did what I really expect.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron just said, look, I am not doing contract negotiations
mm-hmm.
with you until after the season. And that boy is going to be crazy.
He's taking care of business on the field where it matters most. Every time, as Tony was saying, every time he goes to bat and hits one out, the price is going up. You know, every time he does well offensively, the price is going up.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Mm. Shoot. So, no matter what he does, he's not wrong if he's hitting the ball.
Who's coming in the lead is Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. The AFC is in trouble. Because if Lamar Jackson does what I think he's going to do in a contract year. What do you think
he's going to do?
I think he's going to be the MVP in the league. That's what he's going to do.
Okay.
Because Lamar, when he is focused, he can run you out of the field.
Well, that's true. It's not impossible. He was MVP before. I can't see why he wouldn't be again. You know, he's doing stuff that they really weren't ready for because he's still a young dude.
No.
He's still, what is he going to be, 24? You know.
Yeah, he's a baby.
He's a baby. You know, he'll be able to sign one, maybe two more contracts for big money, depending on what kind of check Baltimore intends to cut. If they cut him a Mahomes-like check, then it'll just be one. But
yeah,
you know, if Watson got 230 for 5 years, Jackson should be getting at least 200 for 5 years. So
well, I think Cleveland did was raise the market for every quarterback in the league. That's what Cleveland did.
Well, no, Cleveland didn't actually do this. Minnesota did this because Minnesota gave Kirk Cousins' non-playing ass $86 million guaranteed for 3 years. Now, that was bull because that boy is a dead rope. He can't play. And he got paid $86 million. So if you give him $86 million for 3 years, you know Lamar's worth at least as much. So,
double, dribble.
Exactly. Add the MVP, that's twice 86, that's 160-something. Plus that, Lamar's next contract should start at 200, at least. And he knows that, and I think Baltimore knows that.
Well, it's going to be interesting in NFL this year.
Mm-hmm.
We got 13 quarterbacks.
Yeah, but see, we'll have to look at this through a different. We'll have to look at this through a different prism. You know that. Now, okay, more black quarterbacks. You have the potential of brother-to-brother matchups.
Yes.
That's all right. But you'll also have the potential for trash downs when a black quarterback doesn't play well against a white one.
Yes.
Like, say, Herbert from San Diego or that punk from Buffalo plays and wins. You know, they'll laud him like he's the best thing since sliced bread. And the brother will catch L. Now, we know this is true. But
well,
the problem
it's like out here the West Coast, Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I believe Trey Lance is in for a trap because they're waiting for the mess up.
Shanahan is his coach.
Yes, yes.
And we've seen moments when Lance has performed well in spots. But they're in spots. He's not playing a whole game, and we don't know what he can do. And that's the issue with all the field generals. There will be really short hooks put on some of them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they know Garoppolo can play a certain way, but he's not the kind of guy that's going to take them to a title. I think they already know that. And that's why they had to give Lance the shot. They didn't want to give it to him. I mean, it's not like they did it out of the goodness of their heart, but I think that's what they're looking for.
I don't know whether you saw the event that night, the three-hour marathon that night.
No, I didn't.
Michael, that was the best tennis match I have ever seen.
No kidding.
I have seen shots that I have never seen before that night. I've been watching this for 25, 30 years. I've never seen anything like this. That night, Serena Williams proved to me that she was the best tennis player ever on the planet. because what she did last night was outstanding.
Wow.
And if she was like 10 years younger, she would have beat that girl too. But because of her age, she just got wore out.
Holy shit.
It was just like, I remember bowling at 20 and bowling at 40. It's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, it is a big difference. I agree.
And that night, it showed up. I'll tell you, Serena was ready to go that night. And because it took so long, the girl wore her out. That's all it was.
Well, she shot a load, and she has nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
They did everything they could to delay Serena.
Yes.
They did everything they could to stop her. And, of course, they'll say, oh, she was a great champion, but she wasn't as good as Margaret Smith. You know, that's exactly what they'll do. She'll always be second to her. And, you know, it's not fair. But...
Michael, see one more tournament than Margaret Court. And they
won't
tell you that.
It doesn't matter. They don't care. They want to make sure that their white person holds up to the standard. You know, they didn't want Serena and Venus around in the first place. But because of that, women's tennis blew up hugely. And there are women's tennis stars who will remain millionaires because of the efforts of the Williams women. You know, sadly, it's not going to change. But
no,
Serena and Venus Serena and Venus put a legacy together that very few people could even touch.
Yep.
You know, winning all those doubles titles, singles titles.
19 doubles.
They changed the whole landscape. And they don't like that. They can't account for that. You know, they
Michael,
can't take
care of I'm going to tell you something. The American Tennis Association is in serious trouble. And this is the reason why.
Okay.
This year alone,
there
are only 3 Americans that have won anything. 3.
Right.
And no men. 0 men. Over females. Now, years ago, I did an article on this. When the winners and losers retired, which they got retired this year.
Yep.
And only 2 Americans, I think they carry the blame. You know who 2 Americans are?
Who?
Coco Gauff and Jessica Pegula. That's it. That's it.
Okay.
Nobody else. There's a brother, I can't even name it, a brother. If he gets the right training and stays away from the green,
right,
he can do it too. But the American Tennis Association only has 1 player in the top 10. 1.
Well, whose fault is that? You know, they had the opportunity.
They
could have been real and said, you know, Richard, Mr.
That's
Williams,
right.
Can you teach our people? You know,
right.
that would have been on my mind. You got these results from these 2 young ladies.
That's right.
You can teach up. You can work for the U.S. team. Teach these guys. You didn't do it. You didn't like the fact that arrogant black man told you all the F off.
Think about this. This man, Mr. Williams, took not one, but two champions.
He did.
I mean, come on, what's wrong with you? And the American Tennis Association were leading on John McEnroe and Pat McEnroe.
You can't argue with that. Seriously, they haven't done jack. Andy Roddick, Andre Agassi, are you kidding me? You know, Jimmy Connors, you know, the only one who had any credibility was Pete Sampras. And they don't really say much about Pete because he's not one of the
spotlight. Pete is
like
him.
Yeah, Pete Sampras, he's not one to seek the spotlight, so they don't even talk about Pete, even though Pete was great.
Well, here we go. 2022, right? And the only American I think will get the quarterfinals is Coco Gauff. That's it.
Yeah. And Coco was inspired by Serena. So they know. They can't really take credit for Coco either.
No. I feel sorry for Naomi Osaka. I think she has real physical issues. And I don't think she's going to be around too much longer because of physical issues.
Her back and her right leg.
I don't think she's going to be around too much longer.
Yeah. But she's playing as best as she can, and she doesn't have anything to prove.
Yeah.
She's got
the
titles. You know, she's doing what she can do, and that's all you can ask. You know, Coco, she knows, I got to step up, and she knows it because Serena stepped up.
Yep.
Serena, I'm sure, will likely take her under her wing as opposed to Sloane Stephens or Madison Keys or any of the others, because they're not ready for it. They're not ready for it. They don't want
Michael, it. I watched Sloane Stephens play this week.
Mm-hmm.
I play sports.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to have the inner fire.
Yeah, you do.
In sports.
Yep.
Sloane Stephens.
He doesn't have
that. Not have the inner fire. I'm telling you, he doesn't have it.
She doesn't have it. No, I'm with you 1,000%. She doesn't have it. Madison Keys doesn't have it. You know, Coco has it. Naomi has it. You know, those two I would work with. The others, forget them. Let them wander around and just hang in their mediocrity. They might get lucky every now and then and pick up a check here and there, but they're not championship material. Coco is.
Yeah.
Naomi is.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be the tennis world and the golf world, the tennis world are back happy again. Why?
Mm-hmm.
The Tiger Woods is gone.
It's white now again.
And now the three are gone. Now they're happy campers again. Because
they're better than their white one. Yeah.
The evil empire is gone. that's happy
that's
now.
It's boring as shit now. And they don't care.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they want.
I can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't watch
There's
it. Nothing to watch. When Tiger Woods played golf, it was the first time I watched a golf match, a complete golf match.
Mm-hmm.
When Tiger Woods, I never watched a golf match complete. I watched a golf match.
Yeah.
I
Me
never
either.
Watched a complete golf match.
That
Tiger Woods showed up.
That Masters that he rocked the house was the only time I've ever watched a golf tournament from start to finish.
Yeah.
Only time. Yeah, I just want to see just
gone.
My daddy's
going
to get anybody.
No,
I don't care. Mm-hmm.
Don't
go
care
back
anymore.
To your cup of tail whiteness. That's fine. Y'all can keep that.
Yeah. So what can golf and tennis do to get people back into the game? See.
Well, I think in all honesty, I don't think golf and tennis want anybody to come along. They want to get back to status quo.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be able to
do.
Say, mm-hmm, they want to be able to say, oh, it's our game again. You know, Venus and Serena, they don't want them coming in there with their black asses. Doing their little walk after they were victorious, they really don't. You know, the resentment is on a different level, because it's one thing if they were part of a team, but see, the individuals. Now, when they leave this game or when the game is done with them, Venus and Serena can go back to their other occupation. They're part owners of the Miami Dolphins. You know, they got their fashion thing going on. You know, they can actually live like regular folks, or as regular as they can be.
Yeah.
You know, they ain't got to worry about being coked up losers like Jennifer Capriati. They didn't blow their fortune. They're not drug addicted. You know, they're just ready for prime time. They're ready to do other things, and they will do other things. People hate the fact that they can do other things.
And that leads me to Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Now last time I checked, Sir Lewis Hamilton was 5 JB
Yep. I thought it was 7.
And then I checked.
Okay.
I had a running argument that somebody on Facebook, which I never do.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was trying to tell me that Max Verstappen is a better driver than Lewis Hamilton.
I'm like,
wait a minute. How many championships has Max Verstappen won? One.
Mm-hmm.
How many championships has Lewis Hamilton won? 7.
Yep.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So golf, tennis, and Formula One are all going back to their roots. They're all going back to their roots.
Mm-hmm.
Because
back to their roots.
Lewis Hamilton has brought Formula One into the American in the American lexicon. Because before, nobody knew Formula One was.
No,
Lewis Hamilton won his 5 in a row. Nobody cared about golf until Tiger Woods showed up.
Yeah.
Nobody,
but Lewis is,
very few watched tennis until the Williams showed up.
But see, Hamilton was different because he's in a sport where it's casual, you know. Oh, so-and-so won the Grand Prix, you know. And then all of a sudden, why is this brother's name constantly coming up? So-and-so won this one, he won that one, he won this one, he won a championship, he won 2 championships, then 3, 4, 5. And the next thing you know, what in the ham sandwich, to quote our brother Reggie, is going on here? You're going to be in a situation like a race where somebody can deliberately take you out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a very dangerous race. I think that's what happened to Lewis. I think that's what happened to Lewis after last week. I think he got taken out last week.
That's rough.
Yeah. We got Tony in the house. What's up, Tony?
How's it going? Apparently that's something that's going to stick with me for life, apparently. I was catching, I caught a little bit of what you guys were saying in regards to Serena, Tiger, and Hamilton. The thing is that the one thing that they can't take away from either one of them, even if all of them decided to just quit today or tomorrow or what have you, their legacies are pretty well set. I think all of them will be considered the quote unquote, dare I say it, GOAT of their of their continuous sport. But also, excuse me. But also, Gare, you've got internet trolls out here now.
Because
you know, a lot. You know, you got to be careful because some will just do it just to whatever. To muddy up the waters, because they can hide behind Well, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, they can be, you know, it's very, you know, it's very cowardly. Now, we have media folk over the years that do cowardly things as well. But the thing is, with the one common thread that runs between this group that we talked about, a lot of these guys and gals would not be able to be in the industry if not for the presence of a Tiger, a Hamilton,
right.
or the Williamses. Mm-hmm. And the Williams, you know, the Williams is a perfect example in the sense of, while tennis is an international sport, they, you know, they created their own, I mean, all of them created their own brand. It
yeah.
wasn't anything pretentious. It was done within the parameters of
and
what
they won.
Sport,
and they won.
And well, that's the thing. That's the that's the most important part of the brand, because
mm-hmm.
you know, nobody, you know, who finished second to Hamilton when he won his first title.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's the thing. No one knows. And see, that guy, you know, whoever he may be, is, you know, is not part of the equation.
Yep.
Folks who have either played well against those players or have beaten them, they've carved their own little niche, but everything goes back to the original. You know, the guy that you mentioned who has a, I guess you, I don't even know if you can call it a rivalry, because Hamilton has basically opened up several cans of whoop ass on this guy, and
yeah.
he hasn't even won half of the championship.
Well, I think that Ferrari. The Ferrari racing team and the Red Bull racing team has teamed up against the Mercedes racing team to close them out. That's what I think is happening.
Well, see, that just furthers my point. What's the main, you know, the main reason why these, you know, because look, they've never had a relationship. They've never agreed upon anything, but now they've agreed to want to, you know, get rid of Hamilton.
Close up the Mercedes team.
And that's we've seen the same thing in golf
yeah.
when they tiger-proofed the Masters. You know, early on, they went after Richard Williams, and then they tried to, and then they would try to have particular players, against the sisters. And see, that's the thing. What you saw sort of accumulate, you know, come to a head Friday was, you know, 25 years, you know,
yep.
and they've sustained the excellence. You know, I put something on the internet. Venus has beaten a player from every year. From 1968 to 2003. Now think about that. Think about those years and think about the legacy. And the thing is, the legacies that have been built by all three of those entities that we talked about, you know, the Williamses, Tiger, and Hamilton, they're undisputed legacies. Now, Hamilton is still going
yeah.
on, although he's probably at the other end of it. But see,
yeah.
that's the thing. You all, you know, Mike has said so many times, us as black folks, we don't do mediocre. And, you know, needless to say, with those three legacies, None of them are mediocre. You know, there are people, there are other golfers who are making money now that they wouldn't have made without Tiger. We know the impact of what Venus and Serena was, is, and still remains for the women's game. As much as folks mm-hmm. like to try to sort of give Billie Jean King that credit, and she did early on, but as is what the Williams sisters has always done, they take what's already, they took what was already there and took it to another level. You know, even in Billie Jean King's day, they weren't making a quarter of what the men were making in the Grand Slam tournament. It was mm-hmm. it was beyond night and day. Now yep. the men are always going to make more money, but at least now the women's money is very comparable. And
yes.
the thing is, what I liked was that even the woman who ended it last night, she knows mm-hmm. she's a disciple. And see, that's been the great thing. There's only been a handful of players over the years that have yep. sort of spit in the face of the devil, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Most of them, whether it be somebody like a Lindsay Davenport or yep. a Coco Gauff or Sloane mm-hmm. Stephens or Townsend or what have you, mm-hmm. they always kiss the ring, so to speak. And that's probably exactly. not a good analogy to do, but it's comparable. They understand where their importance, where their place does stand
no,
here.
Right.
They
that's,
would
that's
not
accurate.
And
that's accurate.
The thing. And see, I give her contemporaries that much of a credit. Now, there's always going to be a Martina Hingis.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I was just thinking about her.
Well, see, there's always going to be, you know, for every Martina Hingis, there's a Phil Mickelson or a Sergio
yep.
Garcia.
Right.
And for Mr. Hamilton, what was the guy, mm-hmm. Max something? I forgot the name.
Yeah.
Gary has one of his soldier stories moments, but no. But see,
yeah, I'm telling
that,
you.
That's but see, it's a bittersweet thing because you sort of have to have a villain.
There was nothing more enjoyable, Tony, than Martina Hingis thinking that she was going to get somewhere after she beat Serena in a tournament, only to have Venus whip her ass. She was mad as a motherfucker.
That's what made Serena and Venus was able to do, because see,
yeah.
you may be able to beat one of them in the tournament, but you will not beat both of them, not in the same tournament, because you got this, because you know, because see, the only difference last night was that, you know, unfortunately Venus got knocked out in the first round, because
right.
the only difference last night was that, because see, I think even Venus was sort of looking at, I need to, you know, it's a good thing I'm not playing anymore, because I'd be all on that ass in the next round, you know. But we give Tiger and Hamilton their due, but you know, we have to focus today more so on Serena because of the immediacy of it. But that's the thing, you know, when you
mm-hmm.
take a step back and look at what, you know, what they have done. And I would implore anybody to go see, if you haven't seen it already, King Richard. From what I've been able to see, it really depicts the story very, very
mm-hmm.
well, even though there are no critics.
It also brought back the arrogance, the complete arrogance.
Oh, yeah.
The American Tennis Association. The American Tennis Association.
And it's still, and it's,
tell
and
me,
it's still.
Wait, wait. You didn't tell me that you have a guy who trained two, not one, but two champions.
Mm-hmm.
You won't take any advice from this guy? What you want to do?
Look, see, here's the thing. Again, I mean, I don't want to sound like a dead horse, but, you know, we can't sit around and wait for evil to have a come to Jesus moment. You know, you'll be waiting forever for that. I think there has been a concession because remember, he was inducted into the United States Tennis Hall of Fame. I think they gave him the quote unquote contributor tag, like they did with Coach Matt. But still, it's you know, he's in there. And you know, to me that says it all. But see, the arrogance is still there, and see, while a lot of them are quote unquote going to pat themselves on the back in regard to this for the next, you know, few weeks or so. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, the sport's going to miss them more than they're willing to admit. Now, it's good that, you know, that Coco is there. It's good that, why am I forgetting homegirl's name? Osaka. And see, they've already sort of, you know, been messing with her, in a way. But what's great is also showing her own resolve by just taking a step back. And see, again, that goes back to the Williams sisters because, you know, one of the things that that Richard did was he didn't put him in every tournament early on. You know, he would, you know, here and here. And it pissed off the intelligentsia because, see, they wanted to put weight. They really didn't want him there, but they wanted to have the ability to tell them where they can play, where they couldn't. They wanted to pull a Janet Jackson move, and basically, Richard told him no, that's not going to happen. And you know, you had all sorts of lies and stories and stuff about how Richard would say, okay, you win this major, Serena, and then you win this major. Just to show, and I think I've repeated this story a bunch of times. People forget where that story originated of he would have them win certain matches or whatever. That story originated from that great bastion of journalism known as the National Enquirer. But they ran with that thing for the longest time. And when the both of them would play each other in the Grand Slam tournaments and what have you, you know, they tried to undermine it. You know, that they tried to undermine it. And see, it's always funny because, in a sense, that was a Muhammad Ali moment because the very same. You know, we saw over the years how the very same people who called Ali everything but a child of God when he was at the peak of his career, but then when he wasn't able to quote unquote defend himself as much, then they wanted to embrace him. And see, even with this, they wanted to, even with the long goodbye, they sort of wanted to control this. But thank goodness, you know, Serena was able to control this herself. Now, I know that there's already people because she sort of left it out there that, you know, maybe this isn't the last thing. I think a lot of that I think it finally hit her last night when it was over, and you know you saw the tears and everything else. I think it was just the finality of it. But
she looked. I mean, I was so imagined, and that night she looked really.
She looked 40 last night. Now, I don't say that to begrudge because you got to remember how the way the previous two matches played out. Remember, she won the first set in both of those first two matches, so she had that event. So the once she lost that first set, you're saying to yourself, she won two sets in a row, and.
Yeah.
When she was up for love in the second set. If not, now again, and I hate to use this, if that's Serena 10, 15 years ago,
it's a wrap.
That set finishes up 6-0 and she wins. But see, not only did she have to go to the tiebreaker, by the time she got to that third set, when Tom Janovich went up 4-1, it was pretty much a wrap. But even then, because like I'm sitting there saying she's gonna have to, you know, when they had the 57,000 match points, I'm like, she's going to have to ace her to win it. I kept saying, you know, because she was like, you're going to have to take me out. Even up until the end, she was still like, come on.
Sure.
Come
it was on. 3 hours and 23 minutes.
Yeah, man, that's it. You know,
she earned that win. I can tell you that.
What I liked was that you could tell she was a disciple of Serena because she was. I mean, she was like, usually I was disappointed too because I don't know. But the thing was is that, you know, she played. You know, even though she had to wind up going three sets, her whole thing was, I'm not going to wear you down. But even at the end, it was like, I'm saying to myself, unless she aces, Serena's going to make her and it was funny because she was having such a hard time on her first serve. And I think she had like one ace, but she never, you know, my thinking was, only way this match is going to end is if she aces her for that final point. Because she couldn't kick her out.
Game.
Yeah. You could see where, you know, it got, you know, as the longer it went, It got more draining. And last night, she looked like a 40-year-old, you know, ex-champ.
Yes, she did.
And there's really no shame.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, she was feeling like, you're going to have to kill me. You know?
Tony's right. That's exactly the characteristic that you didn't see in Venus. With Venus, it was like, well, I'm going to run you up and down the court. If I outrun you, I win. You know, Venus doesn't have the capacity to come back, although she has done come back. Serena, it was like, oh, you going to try to whip me? She's like Della Reese and Harlem Nates. Oh, you going to shoot me in my pinky toe?
Now I'm going to have to cut you. Now the whole scuttlebutt, which is ironic, they were saying maybe if she had played more matches, she might have had the work. And, you know, it's funny because, see, they said that when she was in her prime, too. That's what I find kind of ironic. But I will say this, maybe in this – now my sister swears up and down she should have never played the doubles match with, the night before.
No, I think that was a bad decision.
You know, it's maybe. I mean, look, I'll and again, this is just my own thinking. This was more of a, you know, dare I say it, last dance sort of thing.
And I think
in this instance, when Venus said, "Hey, let's do doubles right quick," and she finally said, "Yeah, let's do that."
Why not?
Yeah, because she's going. Cause see, here's the thing. If this is truly her last match, she's got nothing to be ashamed of. She has absolutely. I mean, if this is the way, you know, if this is going to be the best way we remember her to a certain extent, then she gave us, you know, she gave us three and a half hours of all Serena all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'll tell you what I did. I turned my phone off. I said, "Nobody call me back."
I didn't think it was gonna be, you know, 3 hours, because I was going back, because I was flipping, you know, between that and the Met game. But then I was just like, you know, hey, I got 2 more months to watch the Mets. Serena could end tonight. So let me watch Serena and everything. That was, you know, I think we'll look back on this, you know, a year or so from now, we'll remember, you know, where were you the night that, you know, Serena, you know, retired. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing, because that touched everybody. It's funny. Our buddy Rhonda Harper was I saw at the end of the thing on social media, she said, "I'm not crying," and she said, "Rhonda, yes you are, because everybody else is too." So no, I know what you were saying, but like no, I get it. That was you know, that was more than just, you know, sports stuff. That was family last night.
Formula One is going to get the same effect. When Lewis Hamilton retires, which I think is going to be really quick. I think this year, what he's gone through this year, he didn't like what's happening. Lewis Hamilton might walk away from. And if he does that, I think they got a problem.
Well, the thing about all, like I said, the one common thread with Hamilton, with Tiger, with the Williamses, their legacy is set. You know, now of course with Tiger, they're gonna deal with more of the off the stuff, you know, everything. But end of the day, his golf legacy is set. You know, there is, you know, now there's always going to be trolls, you know, online. Cause, I got into something with somebody about Steve McNair, being a Hall of Famer. And this guy tried to invoke Ryan Fitzpatrick. He said, "If you're going to put McNair in, then you got to put Ryan Fitzpatrick." And I'm like, "Really, Herschel?" Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But see, again, that's the nature of what social media has become now, is that you've got a lot of folks who are now basically professional trolls, and some of them are under the guise of media folk.
Yes, exactly.
San Francisco area guy. And there's something about Garoppolo and Trey Lance.
Trey Lance. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, and I know. When they sign Garoppolo, I was thinking, here we go. And see, my thing is this. And you know that if Trey Lance messes up and this guy gets in, he ain't ready yet. He ain't ready yet. I said, stop it. Stop it.
Well, no, look, Gary, it's the oldest CYA move in the country. You know, I mean, all they basically did was this, you know, what they basically did was they deferred the money. It's like, okay, we ain't going, you know, you ain't the starter. We're not going to pay you like a starter. We're going to pay you like a backup. Now, if you should, if things should change, maybe you know, whatever. But see, let it play out because, you know, let's face it. Truth be told, Bill Walsh tried his damnedest to Steve Young long before Montana was through. But so that's been something. I mean, hell, I think some of us are old enough to remember them trying to sell you Steve Spurrier over John Brody.
I remember that too.
Yeah. So this is,
I don't trust
Shanahan. I get it. Well, again, what I'm going to, and maybe I'm giving him more of the benefit of the doubt than I should, but my thing is always, my thing is until further notice, let's see if he plays to Lance's strengths or does he force him into whatever. Now, just from the brief sample that we've got, it appears, and I could be wrong, that he's playing to this kid's strength.
Yes.
They have two different offenses. They have running offense and a passing offense. When Trey Lance is in the game, it's a running a quarterback offense. When Garoppolo is in the game, it's a passing offense. Now, mind you, Garoppolo can't throw more than 50 yards in the first place in the game.
What are you doing, this guy?
Well,
I will say this: the wild card in all of this is Debo. Debo can be a 1,000-yard rusher, but he can also be a 1,000-yard receiver as well. I would have more suspicions if they didn't re-sign Debo. The fact that they re-upped Debo
lets me know, but
I also think that they said, I think someone came to the table and said, okay, what's plan B if Debo goes? And then they looked down one in the bench, and they looked down the other bench, and they said, give him his damn money and just save ourselves here. But no, I think if Debo, let's put it this way, if Debo had walked like Tyreek Hill did with the Chiefs, then I would say, okay, this sounds like a conspiracy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Debo is there, and they didn't lose too many guys free agency wise, and the same off, and they didn't lose anybody off the offensive line. Am I correct? They're basically bringing back the same line.
Same line.
You know what? Again, I'm against my better judgment. I'm gonna see what Mr. Shanahan is gonna do. I'm gonna do like they always do. I'm gonna give you a clean slate for now. Now, Gary, you've watched every game for the last so and so, and you expect, and you don't know, and you expected us to although that being said, you gotta figure that with Adams, that's got to mean something.
Oh man, I mean, it's
I mean, they. I mean, they literally gave him what Green Bay refused to give him. I mean, it took them 2 hours to say extension. Literally,
sure.
You know, if you can see. So they're, you know, so they're 10 toes in with Adams. Now it's just, to be honest with you, pressure's on number 4, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Pressure's on number 4. You know, they got a decent little. The Raiders have a decent little running game. The defense is okay. It's not, you know, that secondary leaves a lot to be desired to me. But, you know, but the thing is, at best, they may be the, you know, third or fourth best team in that division because, look, even with Hill gone, this, you know, KC is still the team to beat. I think Denver moves to second strictly because of Russell. And then it basically becomes down to like it did the last game of the year last year. Who's better in the long run, San Diego? I'm sorry, Los Angeles or Las Vegas? still trying to get that right. But yeah, I mean it's conceived. Let's put it this way. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. Would it be safe to say that's probably like the best division in the NFL right now?
It's the best division in the NFL.
Yeah, I would say it's the most contentious one, yes. No question.
Even if you just go by the quarterbacks, and Carr would definitely, you know, to me, Carr is definitely the fourth of the four,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned. Because, you know, I know that, you know, they've been shoving Herbert down our throat, but the kid can play. I don't begrudge him. But the longer this goes with Al Kassi, he's still, you know, one thing Carr has got over him is that he's got postseason play, and he's won the division. You know, Herbert is still living off of his hype. So. He's not a bust. I'm not going to say he's a bust, but he has not lived, you know, even Garoppolo has lived up to the fake hype that he's been given. You know, he got to a Super Bowl, good, bad, or indifferent. He got to a Super Bowl. Justin Herbert hasn't even got to a postseason yet.
No.
Okay, now that we got that, with Tom Brady being 95 years old, and Aaron Rodgers, I think this is his last year. Who's gonna put in their places?
Well,
because
I think Herbert's gonna be
Lamar Jackson. Ain't gonna be
Allen.
Allen
will be that face. Herbert.
Herbert and
the kid in Jacksonville.
That's about right. Because as a wild card, either one of the two New Jersey / New York quarterbacks shows a little something, they're going to anoint them strictly because they're New York, New Jersey. Now, Wilson's better, but again, you know, that's the world's tallest midget argument with them two. But and you know who's another guy they may try to put in there as well? The kid from Houston. And he's not even – I mean, he's a journeyman at best. But
Davis Mills?
Knowing how they like to play the hype machine, if he has even a semblance of a decent year, they'll try to put him in there. And see, they're not ready to give up on Baker Mayfield yet either, I don't think. Gary, it's better I ruin it now than you be blindsided, you know, next Sunday, especially if Carolina beats Cleveland, you know, because the look, The hype train never ends. It's just a matter of they just change passengers. Now, now basically Brady and Serpico are ready to, you know, basically, you know,
they cannot go on another year like this.
Again, they're going to be let out kicking and scratching, literally and figuratively. But now look, they've already got it choreographed, in a sense. They've already got it choreographed. And see, the funny thing is, as we both mentioned, I actually like Lawrence and I actually like Herbert. But it's one of those things where if you keep beating me to death with them, I'm gonna call my friendly neighborhood witch doctor and wish an ACL on both of them and their families. You know? Now, a lot of it's going to depend on McCafferty. If McCafferty is in the upright position for more than 10 games, they got a shot. They've got a shot. Because, Mayfield, here's the thing with Mayfield. Now Mayfield's been on both sides. Now he was anointed after the playoff run a few years ago, and now he's been sort of forced to eat some humble pie. Now it's just a matter of whether he's going to be Mikey and like it, or if he's going to realize that I'm not the catch pajamas and I need to defer now. It probably would have helped him more if he had stayed in Cleveland, because to me, Chubb brings a lot more to the table than McCaffrey, because McCaffrey is more of this hybrid, glorified kickoff returner, but because they have nobody else really to run the ball, he has to be there. See, Chubb is the main. Chubb is sort of a Piggly Wiggly version of King Henry.
Wow.
King Henry's 2-3 men, actually. Nick Chubb is one of those guys where if he gets 25-30 touches a game.
He's like Henry.
I'm saying he's just a lower. See, that's another thing, I'm going to try and see if I can write something before the season starts, because even with all the hype of the quarterbacks, and they're coming, we all know they're whatever, but it always comes to the running game. It always comes back to the running game, and King Henry, the only reason why Tennessee is even relevant is because of King Henry, and I think if Cleveland does have a run in them, it's going to be because of Chubb, and I would say that whether Watson was quarterbacking or Brissett whatever, because I think at some point, you have to go back to your roots with especially with football. You still, and especially if you're a cold weather East team, and that's the thing with Cleveland. They're about as I know they're still considered Midwest, but that's the thing. If you look at teams that still have that alpha dominant running back, they're going to be, they're still going to be in the mix. One of the reasons why I don't embrace Buffalo all the way is that they still are, they're way too Josh Allen dependent. They need that guy back there that can, and again, you don't necessarily have to be a 1,400, 1,600 yards a year guy.
Give me somebody that's come to 1,100 souls.
They're going to try to put the Buffalo Bills radio red, Buffalo TV, radio.
Here's the thing. Buffalo are basically where the Padres are. You still can't beat your daddy. Their daddy right now is the Kansas City Chiefs. They beat you can beat them in the regular season on a Monday night. Don't mean
beat
shit. You got to beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
End of story. Until they do that, I mean, hey, say what you want. You know, to even try to compare them to the old Bills, Bills made it to 4 Super Bowls. Okay.
Yes, they did.
Good,
that's
better,
great.
And different. These guys can't get past. These guys can't get past Arrowhead Stadium.
Yep.
Now you can alleviate that problem and have them come to Buffalo in January, early February. But you know, it ain't like Kansas City is Maui in February either. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. I have to admit, I go back and forth with Tampa because I really want Todd Bowles to do well, but I swear, if Todd Bowles can win, but if Giselle's husband can get sacked 7 times a game, I'd be all for it. It's like tonight with the Ohio State Notre Dame game. I want to see the brothers do well, but I also want to see Notre Dame get whooped 100-0.
I do not root for Notre Dame. No.
It's tough. Even when Ty was there, it was tough because it's fucking Notre Dame, for Christ's sakes, you know?
But what got me with Notre Dame is the way he treats Ty Williams.
I think whatever goodwill they had with a lot of us older folks of a certain age, they tried to make him out like he was Charlie Weiss, and I'm like, no, you're wrong for that.
And my thing is this: you are a student at the William. Made sure these kids went to class, got the grades, and graduated.
Yeah,
and that's where I lose
it
with the NCAA.
Gary, the playoff is going to be 12 teams in 4 years. There's your answer.
I knew that. What are you doing?
Are you not really? Are we really surprised? To be honest with you, I'm actually surprised it took them this long. To be quite honest.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the SEC, is gonna get like 5
teams in there. Please. Well, you know, again, maybe I'm being naive. Let me see what happens first. Let me see what happens. Because basically, I know.
Wait. Let me back up a step here. You have Alabama, LSU. Florida.
But Gary, let's take a bigger look. Other than Georgia and Alabama, over the last 3-4 years, you know, Florida hasn't been in the mix. LSU isn't in the mix.
Vanderbilt, not really in the mix. Well, but see again, you got to remember, a lot of these schools get in, you know, especially SEC schools, they get this hype strictly because of precedent. Let's look at what they've done on the field. Actually, the teams we need to worry about are probably, and Georgia, remember, Georgia's probably going to take a step back this year because they... Clemson's ACC. Clemson's ACC. Remember, because he... If we think this is going to be a glorified SEC invitational, again, let's look at it big picture wise. Because again, other than Bama and Georgia over the last 2-3 years, the only other program really that's made that kind of an is A&M, and A&M's not an original member. I mean, Vandy's not playing for no championship no time soon. Ole Miss or Mississippi State, no time soon. Florida has been up and down. Auburn, same thing, up and down. They're on their like third coach in the last like 5-6 years now as well. So, I get it that all they're going to do is maybe just open it up, but see, and especially because of these other conferences. Now, it bodes now. See, the wild card in this, of course, is OU and Texas. By the time the new playoff comes in, OU and Texas will be SEC schools. So, will they have made the transition? Because even Texas, they've had their ups and downs, and Oklahoma, up and downs or what have you. I mean, I agree what you're saying, but I think we got to take a wait and see. I really think we got to take a wait and see, because if nothing else, I want to see where all of these conferences are going to be in. Was it 2024, 2026? I guess they're saying it's going to start. Well, they said the earliest it can start is 2024 and no later than 2026. So we're looking at as soon as maybe 2 years.
I also believe that in the back then, whatever it is, back three, four, five, whatever it is, if they lose their team, which they could lose, Stanford talking about leaving.
Where are they going?
And University of California, Berkeley talking about leaving.
Well, where would they? Well, just for conversation, where would they go? The Big Ten or the Big 15 or whatever number they're at now.
I'm just curious.
Where would conceivably Cal and Stanford go?
They go with UCLA and USC, but...
They would go to Big 12?
Yes.
The Big Ten?
Big 12, you know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but even, remember when they tried to do the Baskin-Robbins conference earlier this year, they sort of sat down, somebody came to their senses and says, how the hell are we going to put together a schedule for 32 damn teams?
Yeah, well, you're going to see, by 2026, 2027, you're going to see three 20-team conferences. coming.
You know, I believe you, but it's just, again, I'm just looking at it logistically. Well, I mean, who is going to be the poor tortured soul that's going to put together that conference schedule?
Well, I think it's ridiculous to have USC and UCLA in the B12.
I still can't wrap my head around BC, Syracuse, Pitt in the ACC.
Yep.
To me, you know.
Rutgers.
I mean, you know, money grab be damned, but it just don't make no sense. It's just all. Although what's interesting is that you're starting to see some of these old rivals. You know, they brought back the backyard brawl Thursday night,
and I
see the Rutgers play BC today. But
NC State.
It's. I mean, put it this way. It just makes that ODU win over Virginia Tech even bigger, because that was sort of a blow for the small schools.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, don't forget about us yet now.
Yeah.
So that was huge. You know, that, you know,
what you got cooking, man?
Did we lose Mike?
Mike, what's there?
Must have lost Mike.
Go ahead,
yeah, it's early. Just to piggyback on the field generals. I'm really like week one. To me, you've got Mahomes and Murray going up against each other for the 4 o'clock game. But you know, to piggyback on what we were speaking of earlier. The Trey Lance Justin Fields matchup at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I'm very intrigued, because I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of those kind of matchups this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we haven't even talked about Mahomes and Russ two times a year, as well. Well, I think all of us are anxious to see how Lamar bounces back in his, quote unquote walk year.
I also think that Russell can lead Denver to Super Bowl. I think he can do it.
Denver has
a good defense, and Russell has an offense by himself.
Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. And see, it's funny because all these off-season stories, you hear the quote-unquote experts saying, who could be this year's Matthew Stafford, in the sense of, Trace.
And you hear
Carson Wentz, you hear Matt Ryan, and I'm like, really? Really, y'all? Really?
One guy said Jones. I said, get out of here, Jones!
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's literally singing for his supper at this point in time.
Jones, why? My name is Giants in this. You had Manning for 8 years. Why would you draft a guy exactly like him?
Well, he may look like him, but he damn sure doesn't play like him.
I mean, the way that he runs, the way that he throws, it's Manning Jr. over again.
Well, no, I mean, at least Eli wasn't getting tackled by the Invisible Man, when he would run. But this way, the only, again, and I call back on the running game, The only saving grace that Jones has this year is if Barkley is healthy for more of the year. And again, that's going to be more contingent on Barkley than it will Jones, because Jones has done nothing to whatever. As I said, he's not even the best quarterback in Jersey at this point in time. I might even say that he's third behind Wilson and whoever's starting for Rutgers at this point in time right now.
I'm not gonna
throw the Princeton guy in there quite yet. I'll give Jones that much of a deference. I'll at least put the Rutgers guy in front of him.
Man, what you got, bro? What you got?
Please don't let me. Hey, please do not. I would never want to get in the middle of somebody trying to get something to eat. Somebody's food and somebody's money.
Yes, sir.
Never get in the way of that. I'll talk to you guys.
Thank you, man.
Not a problem. Take care, man.
All right, you too. See you next week.
All right, now.
Hello, Adam, is that UAB? Bethune Cookman, is that Miami? Dakar State, is that UCF? Illinois State, is that Wisconsin? Go Redbirds. Morgan State, is that Georgia Southern? Norfolk State, Spartans, is that Marshall, something heard? Arizona Wildcats, is that San Diego State Aztecs? So that's the game, NCAA game for the weekend. LPGA, South Africa, Paul Rato, holds up Nelly Korda, E. Young Troy, Lydia Ko, and A. Lim Kim. They win the Canadian CP Women's Open Ottawa. This week they're in Dana Open in Sevilla, Ohio. Next week it'll be the Kroger Queen City Championship in Ohio. PGA, they got from. Last week, McIlroy made a comeback. Man Championship beating Scottie Scheffler. With 6-stroke lead, McIlroy continues to blast the live tour. It'll be interesting because 14 players will be playing in Napa this weekend with a four-night championship. WTA, Tennis World Coast of Pussy Bell, New York. As we go into the second weekend of the U.S. Open. NASCAR, the playoffs begin this week. Last week, Austin Dillon won the Coke Zero 400 in Daytona in the rain with a massive 14-car crash. Cutting the bill in half. Many drivers were not happy with NASCAR for stopping the race. This week they're at Darlington. Darlington, Coke Southern 500. Next week is the Kansas City, for Hollywood Casino 400. And the week after is the Bristol Motor Speedway, the last race of the year. IndyCar, this weekend they're in Portland, Oregon for the Grand Prix. Next week they're in Southern California for the Laguna Seca Classic. The Big Three will challenge for the championship. Willpower, Joseph, Newmarket, the Penske teams, and Scott Dixon and the Grassy teams. They're 18 points apart, and this will be a fun 2 weekends. Last weekend with the Belgium Grand Prix. And it seems like Red Bull has taken command with Max Verstappen winning. Sergio Perez second. Max came from 14th place to win the race. Winning his ninth race of the year 2022. He has 284 points and 90-point lead over his teammate, Sergio Perez. Hamilton did not finish as he runs into Fernando Alonso in the second half of the second turn. Flying through the air, no injuries, but he did not finish. Verstappen goes home for the Dutch Grand Prix this week. That's it for today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Come back next week, same time, same bad time, same bad station. See you later.